Welcome to this week's edition of the Africa Climate Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Sophie Mbogwa. Today is the last episode this year, time to take that much needed break to reflect and recharge those batteries before starting a new year. But I thought, since it's a festive season, though with a difference this year due to COVID-19, I don't know how you celebrate your festivities, but for many African cultures, and honestly beyond Africa, that I have had the honor to interact with, food, yes, food is essential. But the truth is, food wasted and left to lay in our landfills is heat up by the sun. Over the years, it emits greenhouse gases that warm up the planet we live in. As a result, contributing to droughts, floods, landslides, warming up of the sea that we have been seeing becoming more frequent and severe. So, today I'm excited that Maite Guardiola, the co-director of Dududunir, June Kemayu, and Catherine Cherop from Dududunir, a Kenyan organization specializing in composting kitchen waste, is back again today. And we're talking about how to compost our kitchen waste at our balconies, you know, odorless actually, and of course, tips to minimize our kitchen waste, not just for the Christmas festivities, but also for everyday life, basically. Maite, June, and Catherine, thank you so much for coming back.
Welcome. Thank you very much for inviting us, Sophie.
Yes, really appreciated, Sophie.
Before we get into the tips, Maite, tell us a little bit about Dududunir and composting.
So basically, Dududunir try to encourage people to see waste, organic waste, as a resource, and put in the means for people knowing how to compost and how to do it in a very easy manner that even people that live in an apartment that has a little balcony can do it. So we encourage them, okay, all your food waste, yes, is not going to go to landfills, but you are going to use it at home and to transform it into a beautiful organic fertilizer that you can use for your plants or for your garden. Reducing the impact that you and your family have to climate change.
That's very interesting. How is waste a resource?
Your waste can decompose easily into rich nutrients that will feed all your plants. So if you are doing, wherever vegetables scraps you are throwing now and like throwing it to Dandura or wherever, you can just take them home, mix them with eventually some paper that you might also have been throwing into your waste or some leaves that you might find around, or you can also get some cocoa peat or some of our remix powder. And the mix together will in 6 weeks, not more than 6 weeks or like 2 months, you will have a very nutritious fertilizer full of nutrients that your plants will utilize to grow stronger and have even nicer basil or different crops that you might be having in your balcony.
And you're telling me that the smell and all that, how might it? just thinking in my, you know, it's just painters a picture in terms of like, if you want to take us just a little bit in and out, like take a household in Nairobi, right? Two children of course a family with two children, the husband, the wife, and a house help. How can such a family that is generating, of course we're talking about leftovers and other different, and we're also talking of oil that we make from, you know, the food that we make, probably that we deep fry. And I'm also thinking that you're buying, you know, we've had COVID-19 and we're told stay at home, and probably you go and buy a beer, probably you go buy a wine. And I'm also thinking we buy oil that is actually packaged in plastic, so we're also generating all this kind of plastic. So I'm thinking if we have all this manner of waste, yeah, right? And we also have kitchen water that we generate from our water that we generate from our kitchen. Now, instead of throwing all this and emptying it and, you know, to a dustbin and waiting for the collection that probably happens every week, how can this family now make sure, convert this waste that they're generating using their balcony and stuff like that? How can they turn this mite into money or maybe, you know, into a resource, you know, instead of just it being a waste?
So, well, the first step is to segregate. Basically, you have to separate what can be composted from the things that cannot be. So, for example, so the bottle of beer, you're not going to compost it.
Yeah, sure.
Glass doesn't compost. But any vegetable, fruits, and even leftovers that are not too oily, you could put them. Are you not advised to put lactics or like meats and so on, because they will generate more smell and you don't want to have a smell in your balcony. But fruit scraps, food leftovers that are not oily, as I said, vegetable paste, choppings of the veggies, fruits that you are cooking, all that you can put it. And believe me, but that's a big amount of your waste, that rather than be sitting outside the smelling in the collection point of your trash that is coming to your house, you can just take it, store it in a little bin that you can eventually even put in the fridge, or just have it by your side. That's how I have it. And I have also a 4-person family in my house. We put it all in a packet, and daily we just dump it in our beautiful terracotta pots. So it's a set of 3 terracotta pots where you keep layering your food scraps with a brown material. We call brown material material that is rich in carbon. We advise Cocopit or our Remix powder that we layer in order to enhance the decomposition in a smell-free manner of this food. So honestly, then you end up with this beautiful, rich soil amendment or soil conditioner, fertilizer that you can really straight, you can sieve it and have a very nice texture, but otherwise you can put in your plants. It does not smell if you do this ratio properly. So amazingly, if you don't do it properly, it might smell at the beginning after you have it completely right, but afterwards it does not smell.
Interesting. Catherine, I'm thinking we go to the village. I don't know whether you go to the village, but I'm thinking of someone who says we're not spending Christmas in the city, so we will go to the village. Every family has got the celebrations the way they do it. Maita has taken us through on a day-to-day basis from the city, what we can actually do in terms of composting our city. But I'm thinking, if for those of us who go to the village, of course, there's a lot of waste that we're generating from this particular season. What can we do? And also remember, also there's a lot of wrappings that comes with probably food stuff that you buy from the supermarket. How can we make sure also we reduce the waste we're generating?
Yeah, Sophie, I would imagine that going into your mama's house or your shosho's house, you know, at your rural area, you would be in a bigger piece of land.
Yeah.
This is generally speaking.
Yeah.
You would still do composting at the land. All you need to do is you need to recognize that composting only takes your food scraps from the kitchen added with some carbon material. So mostly we should understand that the food scrap is made up of nitrogen. And the nitrogen on its own is the one that smells, you know, when you just let vegetables to rot, then they smell.
Yeah.
But once you put the vegetables together and you add carbon materials like dried leaves, or now what we at Dudu Dunia produce, which is called the Cocopit or the Remix powder. So this is the carbon materials we provide you with in the urban areas. But in the rural area, you can just, you know, collect dry leaves and set up a point where you can put your food scraps and then add a layer of these dry leaves. And I can assure you that this is scientifically speaking, and you will not have smelly waste or anything like this. And I also do home composting, but this is an urban in my balcony. And I am also using worms. I can also encourage that. Worms are great. It's a great way to do composting. It worms excrete all these nice enzymes that just digest all these food scraps that we produce, and their castings is what we call the vermicompost, which is very rich, very rich fertilizer, and it's organic, good for us, good for our plants. So we are healthier and we are happier.
The question is, worms, where do I get them? someone is listening and thinking, okay, I would want to compost my waste, but I'm not in Kenya that I can contact Dududunia. Where can I get worms? And probably also in terms of carbon material, apart from the dried leaves, what else can someone use?
Well, Sophie, if I can add a little bit, you were talking about wrappings for your presents. Mm-hmm. One of the ways the wrappings normally are paper-based. Some might have some dyes, but if they don't have a lot of dyes, this is carbon-based. So if you chop it and like shred it thin enough, you can put it in your compost and it's completely digested. Oh. And for your worms, well, yes, we do have worms. We rare local worms and also red wheatlers, which are the most, I mean, famous composting worms. But people can pick their own worms if they have some manure pile when they go to their shamba, mama's land. So they can try to collect some and then just add them into their compost, which is a very nice vermicompost. But for composting itself, you don't need the worms. They add another extra layer of benefit and also speed up the process of the composition. But they are not a must ingredient, I would say.
Maite, if someone is listening to this and says, okay, fine, I would want to learn how to do it, you know, do Dududunia work with people to train them on how to do this composting, but at home?
Yes, we do. In fact, if they get a kit from us, we fully train them on how to do it. We are also doing some small trainings for people like in specific places, in the cafes. And we are also now participating in different markets, farmers markets, where we do a little bit of like explaining how composting and vermicomposting works. But we want to start also doing some of these trainings in schools and tailor-made, either more targeted to children, targeted to a little bit, older audiences.
Yeah.
Because in fact, we believe like, the child really absorb all this and have to be more in contact with nature. And in a way, we bring a little bit of nature in a beautiful container, locally made, where people can experience that, how nature transforms like a waste into a fertilizer. So, but now we bring it to your balcony.
Yeah. And but this is, are you only in Kenya or are you, if someone, because someone else is listening from you, from somewhere in South Africa and would want to do this, are you only in Kenya or can you also,
So we have also some tutorials on YouTube, short videos on how you can do it. Yeah.
And June, maybe to just expound on that. So what website people listening to us go to?
www.dududunia.co.ke. And on YouTube, you're just Dududunia. And on Instagram, it's Dududunia.
Okay.
K-E.
All right. And so on YouTube, you have tutorials on how to do it.
Yeah, we are. And we're also doing more experiments and, they're taking out to YouTube and telling people our findings.
Okay. That's fantastic. Yeah. And thank you so much for actually for that. And so, but June Kimayo, I want you to give just in terms of tips, in terms of we're in holiday seasons to reduce our waste at home and probably over time, behavior change. What do we do?
So first of all, buy enough, what you really need, the necessary, don't buy extra. And when it comes to like things like plastics and all that, when you buy a lot, like in bulk, you tend to reduce having a lot of plastics. Let's say you want to buy cooking oil. If you buy 5 liters, you'll just have one plastic, but you keep on buying 1 liter 1 liter 1 liter, and then also when it comes to food, if you feel like your food is too much, you can donate, you can share with your neighbors and friends instead of just boring them to waste. And also you can get creative with your leftovers and use the scraps to make vegetable broth. And you can use them to make different types of sauces and a lot of other things. You just get creative with your, with your food waste. Also, you can regrow them, like some like carrots, they can regrow, lettuce, pineapples. You can just regrow them in a small bottle. Very soon, you're going to do some tutorials on how to do that.
Okay.
Regrowing plants. And also, use what is left. Like, don't just throw them. You can keep in your refrigerator and eat them later. Yeah. And also another big thing is planning your meals. you, when you plan your meals, you end up, you know, having what is just what, whatever you, you eat, whatever you need right now. And then the rest you keep for the next day. So you won't cook everything. You know, today is Monday, Monday I'll eat this. So planning is also a good thing for, yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, June. Yeah. And so Catherine and Maite, do you have any other tip that you can add on?
Well, myself, when I do shopping, I always think about what waste I will generate. So if I can choose between a glass container and a plastic container that is not, I mean, that is just single use. So it's easy choice if I can afford it. So having this in mind also helps. Starting segregating in your own house, you start realizing how much volume you generate. And I think that's also quite enlightening to start thinking, oh, perhaps I do it really too much. So yeah, I would advise people to start segregating, because now there are companies that segregate, I mean, and help you process most of your waste that you generate in your house.
I would also like to say that Christmas decorations can also be a big part of the festive season waste. So in order to reduce this waste, if you want to buy new decorations and you had decorations in the previous year, you can donate these you know, decorations to your neighbor or to, you know, a school or to your to other family members who could really actually appreciate these decorations instead of just throwing them away as waste.
Yeah.
Or reusing them if you are happy with the decorations.
Okay. Your final word, June, and then we go to Catherine, and then we go to Maite.
I would like to tell everyone to be conscious of whatever they do, whatever they eat, whatever they wear, whatever they carry, because it is the small things that contribute to, you know, the climate change. So when you're conscious, when you become eco-conscious, you mind about how your things, your stuff will contribute to, you know, climate change, how your stuff will contribute to all this, having a lot of waste. And also another thing that I forgot to add is when buying, like everything, make sure, especially household materials and food, ensure that you buy local and buy the ugly ones, because, you know, people tend to ignore those ugly fruits or vegetables because, you know, it looks funny. But, you know, when you don't buy it, nobody else will buy it, and, you know, it will end up going to waste. But it's not bad. It's just the shape. It's nature, you know. It doesn't, nobody's shaping them up. They just, you know, they just grow the way they're growing. So, yeah, that is mine. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, June. Catherine.
Our planet is in our hands. So we have the responsibility to take care of it, because we do not have any other planet. We need our kids and grandkids to have wild animals running around, and they could go to the zoo and see them. So in order to protect our environment, we can recycle, we can compost our foods, we can reduce our waste by really buying what we really need. We should be active in you know, condemning companies that produce these unnecessary wastes, and yes, let's do this together. Let's protect our planet.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much. And finally, Maite.
To me, what is important is that each of us, yes, should realize that this fight for climate change start in our own kitchen and in our own decisions, little decision of what to buy, what we eat, and what we do with our waste, basically. And then it's very nice to think about compost, because it's such a nice product that we transform our waste into compost that allow us to enrich our soils, make healthy our soils, that will just generate healthier fruits, that will just generate healthier food for ourselves. And on top of that, it will just make our surroundings healthier, which that means more green, more rains, less temperature. So how is a chain that if all of us, we do it at our own scale, we can really have a beautiful, amazing planet.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Maite, Catherine and June, for coming on board for these 2 weeks. I sincerely appreciate it. I've learned a lot, actually, and what an interesting conversation. And it's made me look back at my own balcony and think, wow, I have a garden and I plant different kind, you know, vegetables, but I do not compost. Actually, I throw away every other single thing, like basically my kitchen waste. And it's such a, it was a reflective period to think about what I can composting my own, you know, the waste, and actually instead of, you know, buying manure every other single time, and I could actually enrich my vegetables. Thank you so much.
Welcome. You should get one of our Sufuria kids.
Sorry?
For your balcony.
So oh, actually it's the first, it should be the first thing happy, come the new year. And I'm really
hoping that, the present for you.
Yeah, and I'm really hoping that these two conversations kind of, you know, has made our audience look at our kitchen waste in a totally different kind of way, you know, because it's very important for us to protect the environment we actually live in.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Sophie. It's great to talk to you. Thank you.
Yeah, it was great for me too. Thank you so much. And I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And please stay safe.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Sophie.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank
Merry
you.
Christmas and a Happy New Year.
All Happy right. New Year to you.
You too. Thank you so much for coming on board.
Thank bye you.
Bye. All right. Bye-bye.
And yes, with that Christmas spirit, my dear listener, that is where we end this year's conversation. I'm very conscious of the fact that this year's holiday season is different environment due to COVID-19, but I hope that in your situation, you will have some time to join in the spirit of gratitude and joy just for the mere fact that you are here. I'm so humbled that you have been an integral part of the Africa Climate Conversations podcast. Was it not for the numbers I see rising every single day and the emails and comments I see, probably I could have reduced the podcast frequency by now. But I'm sincerely grateful that you have been listening and you have been part of this. And from the bottom of my heart, I say thank you. Asante sana. Merci beaucoup. So I'm going to take a month break this season and to resume on the 19th of January, God willing. But my hope is that this podcast has been informative and educative to you and that you will keep walking this journey with me. But in the meantime, do you have a climate topic that you would like us to discuss? Do you have a question that you would like answered come, you know, the beginning of the year? Please write to me using info@africaclimateconversations.com or head to the Africa Climate Conversation website, www.africaclimateconversations.com. On the contact page, you'll find the way to contact me. I look forward to hearing from you. But before then, allow me to wish you a peaceful, joyful festive season and a happy new year. I hope to walk another mile with you come 2021. But as we say here in Kenya, Christmas njema na nakutakia heri ya fanaka mpya. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Please remember, stay safe.